Sorry.
I'll think I broke this. Whatever. It can sit. Okay, this is going to be interesting. If there are any students that are broke in the house, you can take the bread after. I know the struggle. Yeah. So tonight I'm going to be continuing with our exit series that we've been doing at Sela. So for those of you who've not been here or here for your first time, we've been going through Exodus on a Sunday, and we've brought it into our Friday nights as well. Kind of made it applicable to us as a generation and something that we really feel is taking place at the moment. So who was here last week that heard Kai speak? Okay, a couple of you. All right. So Kai came and shared last week just a little bit about his life, a little bit about the journey that God's done with him, and a little bit about kind of the future of this country. And he spoke extremely positively of what there is to come for us as a generation, as for us as a country. And I think something of that was just inspired me to want to be in those places, to want to be used where God wants us to be. So tonight's going to be a bit interesting. I'm trusting God to do something, but I'm gonna challenge us a little bit tonight. Is that okay? Can we do that? Yeah. So I'm going to be speaking from Exodus 16 and 17, a little bit of from each. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to put out some questions for us to ask ourselves. Something we can not take into our week, something that we can apply to our lives, something that I feel God is asking of us as a group of people for our futures moving forward. So, I think something of that, wanting to be a leader for him, wherever we are at in our lives, if it's studies at the moment, if it's going to be in the job sector in some time around, if it's in your family lives, I feel like there's something that God's doing within us young guys where actually we're going to shock the older generations. We're going to show them something that they never thought of us. And I feel like God's rising up leaders. And it's not just leaders and like up at the top. It's like you are a leader wherever you go. And I feel like I'm excited. I look around this room and I think there is so much potential in this room and giftings that God wants to bring out, that he wants to do in us. And I think there's something that we can step into moving forward. I'm going to set that timer because I know myself. Okay. So first one is Exodus 16, verse 2 to 4. We can put it up there. I'm going to move a bit. So, looking at this, I'm just going to read through it, and then I'm going to get in. Are we good? Okay. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So just to give a background, this is a time where they've come out of Egypt. They've been now 2.5 months into the desert, and they're hungry. So it says, Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So I've had a couple of words there just because I think it's slightly applicable to us. I think as a generation, we grumble. We grumble a lot. We grumble with our future, we grumble with how things are in the country, and there's something of that even I do. I do it often. I grumble mainly about my family sometimes and my sister, but it's okay. So there's something in that where I feel like we complain. Just like the Israelites complain for food, there's a part in our lives where there's a lot of complaining and there's a lot of grumbling, and we're finding it hard. Like, times are not easy, but there's hope. So I'm going to go into that. So now asking the question that I wanted to get to was, what are the areas of your lives that you have little faith for? If we can sit here and we can think about it and we say, kind of, what is it that you are not allowing God into? What is it, what area of your life do you have little faith for right now? Is it your future? Is it relationships? Is it jobs? Is it something? And I know we can each find something and make it applicable to ourselves. But it's a hard question to ask, because I feel like sometimes what God is doing with us now is something of asking that question. Asking that question of saying, what is it that, why don't you have faith? So I looked at it and I thought, it's kind of like the Israelites. It says, like, they were faithless at that time. with the fact that God could provide for them in the desert, which he did. And it's not a hard, it's not an easy time to be in that place, yet they grumbled, just like we do in times, but he provided. So they were faithless. And I feel like if we are faithless, then we are, faithlessness is fearfulness. So if you are either faith-filled or you're fear-filled, and you take them to every area of your life, and the fruit is going to come from that. If I'm fearful of my future, I'm going to stand here and say, I don't know what's next. I'm going to leave. And it's not that some of us are called to stay. Please don't think that some will go and some will stay. But I refuse to say that I'm fearful, for I know the God that we serve. And I know that he has something more for us. And I don't want to be fearful of the future. I don't want to be fearful of the fact that my past relationships have not worked, so I'm not going to get one. I'm not going to be fearful of the fact that my family was a broken one. That is not my future. It is not my future. It's not something that I see that God has for me, because I want to be faithful. And I feel like God's saying to us, what are the areas of your lives that you have little faith in? And it's not an easy question, but it's a question that we need to ask ourselves. If we're going to step into something that God has called of us moving forward, are we going to step into it if we're fearful? I wouldn't. I've seen something of a journey in the last while where there's glimpses of faith moving forward, and I want that. I see it because God's calling us to that. So, on to my next point, Exodus 16, verse 16 to 20. I think that's the other slide. I'm going to go through it. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So this is the next question that's, it struck me, and it was quite something that, yeah, something, it's not an easy question to ask, but I'm not here to actually make it easy, because I feel like it's a seriously important question for us. So just a bit of background quickly. An omer, I did some research, is 1.4 kgs. This is 1.4 kgs of bread. As you know, God provided manna for them. He provided quail. So they went out and gathered in that time one omer. This is one omer per person. Now, when I first read it, I skipped over that per person part. And I thought, that doesn't sound like a lot. Because we don't understand a bit of the context, we actually can miss it sometimes. And I feel like when I did some research, I thought 1.4 kgs per person per day for as many days as they gathered and the hundreds of thousands that there were, that's a lot. That's a lot per person. This is enough for me in one day. And he provided that for them. Maybe. Okay. Maybe not the legs for those who know me. Yeah. You've got to feed the beast at some point. So, but I feel like in that time, it's something that God asked of us and asked of them to do. And I feel like he's asking something of us now. Can we go and gather what he wants for us? Can we go and trust that it is not too little, not too much, but just what you need? Just what you need in your life. Just what he knows you are capable of. Because he doesn't give you too little, because God is an extravagant God and he never does. But he will not give you too much at this point because he knows you cannot handle it yet. And it's not a thing of you're not capable of more. There's more to come. But what he's asking of you now, are we content with what he's asking of us? Are we happy with it? Because in the world that we live in today, we seem to think more is better. And how many examples do we see of people with fame and whatever it is as an example? I'm going to use my heroes, Justin Bieber, let me get in there. Anyway, as an example, he got given too much too soon. And he fell. He made mistakes. He didn't have people in his life. Here we sit in a community where we are one family. If you do not know, brothers and sisters, we're family. We get to walk into what God has given to us, but we do not do it alone. We do it in community. That's what's such a vital part of this family. What 3CR believes is that the local church is God's plan. We use each other. Because if we use what God has given us and we take up what he's asked us to, there's no reason why we should fall. There's no reason why anything of that needs to happen for us, because he does not want it for us. But yes, God will use times. But I trust that God always sees the best first. But he will deal with us in ways to get us back there should he need to. So, second question for the night. So, I'm giving the questions as a structure, if you guys can understand, but then something that we can take into our weeks. So I want you guys to take this moving forward and ask this of your life. Ask yourself the hard question. Are we happy with that? Good. So the next question is, how many times in our lives have we held on to what God has told us to let go of? We look there and we say, he told them to collect one omer, 1.4. Just as much as they needed. Not more, not less. But those that collected more, what happened in the morning? They were full of maggots and began to smell. So I felt like the question that God is asking us is that of what is it in our lives that he has told us to let go of? But we keep going back, and what do we find? Full of maggots. It's not good for us, and he knows that. But we do not trust him enough that we keep going back. We keep trying to gather more. We keep going back to that relationship that we should not be in. We keep going back to what people have said about us in our past that is no longer us. Because we are made new in Christ. And it's the thing of, it's not an easy thing to ask ourselves, what am I holding on to? What do I not trust enough that God can do something in that? But it requires something of us. It requires us listening. And being obedient and saying, what are the things I need to let go of? What am I holding on to? And that's not easy. Because the things that we hold on to are the things that we want, but the timing is not there yet. And so often we think, if it doesn't happen now, it'll never happen. It's not God's plan. But he knows that anything more is not good for us. He gives us enough. But if I look at this and I say, is this too little for me? No. Is it too much? No. Is it actually more than what I probably might need in a day? Yes. So even what he gives us now, still more. That's a lot of food for one human being in a day, as you haven't eaten for a couple of days, I guess. But for me, I think, actually what God's given me now, if it's enough for me, I need to do the best with that now. I need to trust him enough with what he's given me that the next step is bigger. But it's not now. It's when he says it is. And it's when he asks us to gather more. If you go later on, don't change the slide. He then says to them with the Sabbath, he says to them, go and gather twice as much. So they did. And then when the next morning came, they had gathered twice as much, but it wasn't off. It didn't have maggots. It didn't smell. Why? Because God had said, go and do it. He said, take up more. And once he said it, the result was not the same. It was different. Because he knew that we'd need it then. He knew that we would have to get it then to survive. And I want to survive, but I also want to thrive. And I feel like when we take more, we're not able to handle it. And in our lives, if we take on too much, if we take on a relationship that's not good, it's not just going to negatively affect us, it's going to negatively affect the other person. And I don't see God's plan as being that. But are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to let go of the things that we're holding on to? I hold on to for years the fact that I was just like my dad. From a past, from a broken background, from a family that came from a divorce, and I thought, that is who I am. And held on to it. And I put it into situations because that's what I believed I was, and I wasn't going to let go because that's where my identity lied. So where do our identities lie as a generation moving forward? I think if we're going to take it up and we're going to have to let some stuff go, our identity needs to be in him first. Before we can take more. Because if it's not in him, how can we take more? So, going to go on to Exodus 17, verse 5 to 7. Oh, there's it. How's it? Okay, this one. The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, excuse my pronunciations, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So again, another situation of complaining in this regard. There was no water. They didn't have water. And they were thirsty and they were moving. And they did not trust that what God had just given them for the past while from a point of providing food, that he would provide for them water. And I look at I take that into our lives, and I say again, there's times where we doubt him still. Yet we know what he's done. We know how he's provided for us. We know what he's taken us out of that Egypt as an example, and into something new. But the something new is not easy, because the something new requires something of us, and it requires more faith stepping in, but also knowing that he will give us what we need. So, next question. What areas of our lives do we need God to strike so that life can come from it? And we look at the story of striking the rock and water flows. So water is the source of all life. So no matter what your hard place is, I'm taking a different turn on it to what some people might. Doesn't matter how barren something looks, how hard it is, God is capable of bringing life from it. That is the hope that we walk into as a generation where people say, no, it's impossible. We say, no, it is. We say, God, come and strike the rock. What area of your life do you need God to come and strike? What is that hard place for you? What is that barren place that you are not yet allowing him to come and do what he needs to do so that life can flow from it? We look back, we look at Moses and he struck the Nile. For them, that was their source of life. All water came from that. And for me, it's the thing of God is so capable of bringing water and life from the situations that we see impossible. And it's, for us, that source of life, this is Old Testament, New Testament, our source of life is Jesus. He is our source of life. He is that water that has come up to grow us, he died for our sins. Old Testament, New Testament, we live in a different era to what the Israelites did. But he is our hope. He is our source of life. He is our water. He wants it to be a fruitful life, an abundant life. How do things grow? They need water. We need Jesus in whatever it is in our life that we are taking forward. I think as a generation, let's do that. Let's say, God, come and strike the rock. It might hurt, probably will. You might not see it straight away, but the long-term benefits are there. And it's like, I want that. I want that for us as young people who I think a lot of the world puts us aside and say, there's no hope in a young generation. They're on their phones 24/7. They're doing this, they're doing that. And I feel like God's asking us to take something up now, to stand up. But we need to allow him to lead us. We need to allow him into our situations, into our good, into our bad, so that he can do that. And I feel like we're not allowing him some areas. We're not. Why? Because we keep seeing the same results. You look at friends, you look at family, you look at things, and it's not an easy thing to say, myself included. It's like, but there's hope. He is our hope. He is our hope. I think, I'm not standing up here speaking from a good place where things are going amazingly well in my life. Things are not. I'm going to be real with you because we're a family, and it's something that I feel, I'm not standing here and going, yes, man, studies are great. Rocking it. Family life, get out of here. Money. It's a, got it. No, life is real, guys. We know that. So in my life now, my opa has cancer. My dad is on the verge of losing his business, but am I going to be fearful? Am I going to be faithful? Knowing that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter what happens in your family, that God has got you. And it sounds strange, but it's so of him that actually, in no matter what the situation is, I know he has me, so I have peace. And that is not of the world, but that is something that we need to show the world. That the world does not dictate our terms. The world does not dictate who you're going to be, what you're going to do with your life. That your race matters. Come on. That your education matters. That your past matters. No. No, but I have faith in a God that is going to do something big. And there's something that I read moving forward, or something that I heard actually when I went back to Durban yesterday, is that there's a better future within our reach if we choose it. If we choose it. If is a big point. If I'm willing to sacrifice my life and the areas that I know I'm struggling with to him. If I'm willing to allow him to come and strike that rock. If I'm willing to first be aware of what needs to be done. If I'm aware, action can be taken, but it's not my action. My action on something will make it worse. His action on something will not just make it better, it will make it great. But it's for him, ultimately, at the end of the day. And that's where I want to be. So, how am I doing? I can't actually see. Thanks. Oh, damn it, on time. Okay. So, I want to end off with a verse that just really, don't put it up yet, please, really links in. Do you know what? Absolutely. No, joking. This, for me, I felt God put on my heart, and I can see why. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. That is what I stand on. That is what I go into the future thinking. I may be faithless, but he will always be faithful. Now, isn't that what we need and what we need to say to ourselves every morning when life gets tough? When classes become terrible to go to, and trust me, I've bunked them as well. When our family looks at us and says, who's this God? What are you doing? You say, that's what I'm doing. My life is not my own. It is his. For he cannot disown himself. How much more of an assurance do we need in the God that we trust when this is written of his character and who he is? And it's something of like, man, doesn't it stir something in you? I want to be a leader in wherever I am in my life moving forward, knowing that God is with me every step of the way. I do not believe that any of us want to dream small. I do not believe that those engineers just want to like go and join something and like do the stuff down here. It's fine. No, if we are a generation, if God is calling us up to something, why don't we stand up and take a hold of what he's asked us to? Gather it up now, but know that what he's asking us to do now is not where our dream is in the future, but it's now. The now cannot be left undone and kind of like it's not enough. I feel like if we neglect now, how much longer do we delay the future? So, yeah, it's something that I felt for us, and I feel like the leaders in this group tonight, there's abilities and skills and gifts that you don't even know yet that I feel like God is saying, let me show you. But there's areas that I need you to first give me. But you first need to be willing to give to me, and then let me work. Let me work. It's not easy. I've had to do it over the last little while, and man, it sucks, because you are no longer in control. And in a generation where the world says individualism is it, it's the hardest thing to do. How do we give something up when I know that what I'm doing with my life is better, when I'm controlling this is better? And I think it's something that if we do, we're going to shape not just a city, not just a country, we're going to shape the world. And it's not the big stage all the time. It doesn't need to be. It's every day where we get to do this. So every day we get to walk into something and say, today I'm going to do this. Today I'll give it to you. Today I'll find life, that source of water in Christ, in everything. That the past does not matter anymore. That whatever it is that is holding me back will no longer hold me back. But are you willing? So that's kind of just what I felt for tonight, and something that I feel like we need to take these questions into our weeks going forward. and trust that he will really do something great. And I mean that. Faithful, fearful. I want to be faithful because I know what he's got. And I know what he's got for some of you. I don't know all of you. I know some of you enough to know that you don't even know what is inside you yet. And God's saying, let me show you. Come, let's do it together. It's not alone. It'll never be alone. And that's why he puts us in community again. Our life groups on a Tuesday. Do you know how many times I've gone to the life group and gone, flip, life sucks. I'm fearful. I'm worried. And Roy and Meg sit there and they go, why? Why? Let me give you the reasons why. Class is like 5 to 7 in the evening. What the heck? I'm living on 1 omer of bread for the next 2 weeks. Pick an older life group that make food. And they say to me, who do you believe in? And I go, wow. Have I allowed everything around me to stop that? Let's take it into a week. Thank you, guys.
Sure, that was absolutely incredible. I'm challenged.